All right, good to be back this evening. Glad to see that y'all made it out. I didn't scare you away from this morning, so I guess that's a good thing. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8 this evening. I actually had three messages I wanted to preach tonight. Well, I had two. I was going to preach one, and the Lord said, how about this one? So I worked on another one, and then he said, no, this one. I said, okay, well, I guess we got it right now. So, amen. Mark chapter number 8. And if you're, again, looking for a title, here's the title. Hungry people need to eat. Makes sense, doesn't it? Hungry people need to eat. Mark chapter 8, verse number 1, it says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you that your word is so rich in lessons. And thank you for your power and your might and your love, your care and your concern for people throughout the ages. Thank you for meeting the needs of the people here that we read about in this account. And thank you that you're still meeting needs today. Lord, I'm asking for wisdom and strength to preach exactly what you want and to say just what needs to be said in the time that we have. And Lord, that you would be pleased to meet hearts and do something that I cannot do, Lord. I cannot touch anybody's heart. I can't speak to hearts. I don't even know the needs, but you do, and we're trusting that you will make something clear to someone this evening about their need for you, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to use the hungry multitude here to represent those who are hungering spiritually. Now, let's go back to the story here. Isn't it amazing? This isn't just a story. This is something that happened. Okay? There's 4,000 people out there. They're all following Jesus. They want to hear him. And it gets time, it's time for them to go away, and they're hungry. And the Lord said, well, I just can't send them away hungry. I got to make sure they got something to eat. They got a long journey to go. They didn't just hop in their cars and go home. They had to drive. I was going to use an old Zambian term. They were footing. That's how they talk about walking sometimes. They had to foot home. No, they had to walk home. He was concerned about that. They needed some strength. They needed something. They were with him, and he felt accountable to help them out. And so here I think we can not just talk about the hungry multitude physically, but I think that this also can represent those in this world who are hungering spiritually. And by the way, there are. We've got to realize that people in this world are hungry. Sometimes they don't always know it. A little verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse number 7. Let me read it to you. It says, the full soul loatheth an honeycomb, but to the hungry soul every bitter thing is sweet. Now, you think about that verse. So I don't know what you're talking about there. The full soul loatheth an honeycomb. Loatheth means they can't stand it. A honeycomb, you say, well, I wouldn't want a honeycomb anyway. Well, when I was a kid, I used to eat those honeycomb cereal, you know, and they were pretty good. But back in the day, they didn't have candy bars. They didn't have, you know, mints or anything like that. If they wanted something sweet and give you a lot of energy, they'd eat some honey
and have some of the honeycomb. It was really nice. It was something special, just like we like desserts after supper, and sometimes we like them before supper, and then we try to take care of ourselves that way with all the extra food and things like that. But here, the full soul loatheth and honeycomb. But to the bitter soul, hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. So if you're really, really full, even the tastiest chocolate cake, you got no appetite for. You know? And if you're really, really hungry, anything is going to taste good. I remember I was in the Boy Scouts years ago. That was back when it was still the Boy Scouts. And I was in the Boy Scouts, and we went out there, and, you know, and Girl Scouts, they can have their Girl Scouts, too. That's great. I just think it'd be good if you had the Girl Scouts and the Boy Scouts. That's just on the side, that's all. But we're out in the Boy Scouts, and I was kind of a finicky eater growing up. Really, there's some things I liked and some things I didn't. And I remember we got out there, and it was cold, it was rainy. We were setting up some tents. We were on a camp out, and I was hungry. And then here they got some food that they're cooking up. I don't know what it was. I don't think they even knew what it was. They just had a big pot, and they were throwing all sorts of stuff in there. I'm like, oh, man, I wouldn't eat that one by one, and you're putting it all together. I'm certainly not going to eat that. I'm starving. It wasn't really, but I thought I was. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to eat this thing because I was so hungry. And you know what? It actually tasted pretty good. Why? Because I was hungry. When you're really hungry, you'll eat about anything, even if it's not tasty. You'll start thinking it's okay. Now, when we were in Zambia, we saw a lot of the times some of the kids would go and set some fields on fire. You say, why would they set the fields on fire? Well, because it would burn up all the brush, and then there'd be holes in the ground so they could find out where the rats were. Then they could go in and dig out the rats, and then they could cook them up and eat them. Anybody hungry? Now, if you were hungry, you might want to have a little bit of rat stew or something like that, roasted rat or something like that. I never had any. Don't want any. You know, give me a piece of chicken, give me some beef, you know, amen, all that stuff. But, you know, rat, I'm not really up for that. And you might be thinking the same thing. But if you didn't have any food, you might think the rat was pretty tasty. Say, oh, no. Let's make an application. When we were in Africa, there were some people who were starving physically, but there were also a lot of people starving spiritually. And it's not just in Africa. We found, when we got there, we found that there were a lot of other denominations. We found some of the cults there. We were found people there who had been taught a false gospel, hadn't been taught how to be saved the Bible way. And because they had a need in their heart, like every person does in the world, they had a need that for the Lord, they needed something, amen? And yet, they weren't being filled. They didn't have the truth. And so they accepted lies. And there's so many religions out there that are teaching things that are not according to the Bible. You've got religions out there, if you get baptized, it washes your sins away. Bible doesn't teach that. You've got churches out there that teach if you speak in tongues, you'll be saved. Doesn't say that in the Scriptures. It's not in there. There's people in there that says if you get confirmed, you'll be saved. Again, not there. People say, well, you got to keep all the Ten Commandments. Well, I'd like you to show me the verse in the Bible where it says if you keep all the Ten Commandments, you'll go to heaven. You can turn to Exodus chapter 20 and you can read all the Ten Commandments. And after you get done reading them all, there's no verse that says if you do all this, you'll go to heaven. And so there's so many different false teachings out there. One church is teaching one thing, another church is teaching another thing. And it would be pretty good if we just went right back to the Bible, amen, and see what God said about the whole thing. But this is the problem. So many people, they're hungry. They know they need something. And then they will swallow the bitter thing. And they'll accept something that's not even true. They'll accept a lie. How sad. How sad. And so when people are starving spiritually, we've got to go and give them the bread of life. We've got to give them something that's true, something that's honest, something that will help them, something that will change their life. So I want to give you the message here tonight. And just look at this chapter, these verses pretty quickly here. Notice, first of all, the need neglected. The need neglected. Now, let me talk about this neglected need. There's a couple of ways we could describe it. First of all, it was a huge need. It was huge. It was huge. Look here with me in verse number 2. Jesus said, I have compassion on the what? On the multitude. There was a whole lot of people there. And a whole lot of people were hungry. And we've got to start seeing people in the world as part of this multitude. We can't keep up with the world's growth. There are billions of people in this world. And my question is, we're not keeping up with it. And if we're not, are we trying? When I look at churches, we're not seeing an abundance of churches anymore. Churches that used to be booming are struggling. People aren't interested in going to church. We've got more people in the world, and we've got less people going to church. Does that mean we need the Lord less? Oh, no. Look at our country. Look at our world. The world's in a bigger mess than it was. Look at our nation. It is divided. It is filled with more violence and more hatred and more bitterness and more sorrow. I mean, more people taking their own lives. More people getting hooked on substances. And so many problems. And you think it might have something to do with the fact that we've kicked God out of the schools? Now, isn't that amazing? Don't let the Bible, don't let prayer in schools. Then we have a school shooting. And what's the first thing they're doing? They're having a prayer meeting. Pray for us. Maybe if we taught the people a little bit more or allowed the Lord to have a little bit more sway, we could prevent some of that stuff. Not maybe, definitely. We as a nation have turned our back on the Lord. And there's a very great multitude. And we can sit around as Christians and say, well, it's just the way it is. It's just going to get bad. We're just going to have to hang in there. Or we can get out and mobilize as Christian soldiers and go try to find some people who need the Lord. And invite some folks out and say, hey, we got a church. We can help you out. We can show you some things from the Word of God that will help change your life. Go find some people. But the Bible says, challenges us to go out into the highways and hedges and to compel them to come in. Not just come into the church, but come into the kingdom of God. Get saved. Receive Christ as Savior. Let Him change your life. There's a huge need. There's a very great multitude out there. So many. So many. So the need has been neglected. It's a huge need. But also, it's hunger. Look what down here says in the end of verse 2. Well, let's read verse 2 again. He said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have, what's those last three words in the verse? They have what? Nothing to eat. Nothing to eat. Well, they had nothing to eat physically. But you know, there's a lot of people who went to church today. They got stories. They got church dogma. They didn't get the bread of life. They had nothing to eat. And there's a lot of people, they didn't even bother to get up and go to church this morning. They're not in church this evening. They had no time for God. They're watching the football. They won't remember 5 years from now who won anyway. It won't amount to a hill of beans. And when your team loses, you're not happy anyway, so why put all your hope in that stuff anyway? Nothing to eat. Think about that phrase. Nothing to eat. You know, there's people in the world, you know, I'm sorry. Sometimes I just don't like being in America. And so I love America. That's not the problem. We got churches. We've got Bibles. If someone not wants to know about the Lord in America, can they find the truth? Yes, they can. Yes, they can. There's a whole lot of people in this world who have nothing to eat because they have nobody to tell them. They don't have a preacher. They don't have a pastor. They don't have a missionary. And I believe the Lord would want to raise more people up. Again, I mentioned this morning in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Sometimes we think, well, that means He loves America. Oh, yeah, we're worldly, all right. I guess He loves us. But not because we're worldly. He loves the people in China. He loves the people in Mongolia. We got to be in Mongolia earlier this year. And in Korea, we got to see some folks in Korea. And Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, in January we'll be in Cambodia. I tell you, we've been in other places and we've seen other people. They need the Lord. When we were in Mongolia, we just not far from the church, just real close from the church. I think I had a really good arm. I could pick up a rock and throw it over the buildings and hit the courtyard of one of the biggest Buddhist temples in the country. And we went into that temple and we saw this huge statue, false god, and then there's a couple of evil-looking ones over here. Not that that one was very attractive, but and then around the perimeter inside, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of idols, all set up on a row in shelves. They all looked about the same to me, but I guess they were all little different ones and different names, and people go to pray to their god, their idol. They have so many gods, they didn't even know who they are. Outside, they had these wheels, you'd go and spin them around, and you say a few prayers, you just spin the wheels. I don't know what spinning the wheels had to do with anything. Then they had a pole. It looked like a telephone pole. There were people standing there, you know, bowing and praying to this pole, and how sad. Those idols were dead. They have eyes, but they can't see. Ears, but they can't hear. A mouth, but they can't speak. My Lord spoke the creation. He spoke the world into existence. And He's still speaking. He's still alive. He sees me. He sees you. He hears our prayers. He is still alive. He's still active. And He's still speaking today because He speaks to hearts through His Word. We've got a living God. But there's so many people who have nothing to eat. Where are the people who raise up and say, Lord, I'll go and feed those who've got nothing to eat. I think of when I went on a survey trip many years ago, passing out some gospel tracts. I had people saying, thank you. Don't get that very often here in America. Thank you. We got out one area, one little compound, and we were passing out tracts, and there was a little girl over there crying. Why is she crying? She didn't get a tract. I've never seen that here happen in America. Someone crying because they didn't get a tract. I'd be over there many times. I'd be giving out a tract, maybe at a gas station or something like that to somebody, and then someone else would come up, can I have one too? No, I don't have enough for you. No, of course, amen, right? We were going through a police check one time. That was when my first time there in the country. We were doing a survey area, and we went in this area with a police check. We were stopped, and they were checking the car, seeing if they could find something wrong with it so they can, you know, charge us for something. And then gave them a tract. I said, can I have some more of these to give to my friends? Sure. Here's a policeman. You know, he wanted some more to give to his friends. There are a lot of people who have nothing to eat. But now the need has been neglected. It's a huge need. It's a need of hunger. We also see that it's a hazardous need. We see this let's pick it up here in verse number 3. Jesus said, "And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, what will happen?" He says, "They will what? They will faint. They will faint." Oh, physically, yes, they won't have strength to continue. Let's talk about spiritually. They will faint. Revelation 20, verse 15, "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's hazardous. It's something, and if I have to miss a meal, which I haven't missed too many, but if I have to miss a meal, I'll make it. But if someone misses the most important meal, and that is the truth, the gospel of salvation, they will perish. They will faint eternally. Spend the rest of eternity in the lake of fire. It's important that we get the gospel out to people. So we see, first of all, that the need has been neglected. Secondly, we see the need noticed. And let's see who noticed this need. Of course, it was the Lord, amen? And if we want to be Christ-like, we ought to be noticing some needs also. But let's see also what notices needs. Let's see there in verse number 2 again. Jesus said, "I have what? Have compassion." What sees needs? First of all, love. Love sees needs. It's not, "I had compassion." "I have compassion." It doesn't matter how much we used to love souls, how many tracts we used to give out, that we used to go witnessing. Do we love people now? Compassion is being stirred and doing something about the need. Not only love notices needs, but the need was noticed, secondly, I think, by liability. You say, what's that? An obligation. Look what Jesus said. He said, "They have now been with me 3 days." Jesus took it personally. He felt personally responsible. So these people have been with me for 3 days. I can't send them away empty-handed. I can't send them away hungry. He felt responsible. Let me ask you. How long have some souls been under your care and you've not met the need? Think about it. How long have those children lived in your home and you haven't tried to explain the gospel and how to be saved to them? How long have you been working with children on the bus route? Or how long have you had people in your Sunday school class and you haven't gone to visit them? You haven't gone to check on the condition of their soul? How long have been people under your watch care and you haven't met the need? Jesus said, "They've now been with me 3 days." Have we fed them? Have we fed our co-workers? Have we fed our neighbors? Have we been willing to go to that mission field that needs somebody? Do we feel obligated? Everybody can do something. I remember my grandmother, she's passed away now, but she had a burden for our family. She had a burden for the lost people. And she couldn't go and visit them all. She'd write letters. She'd write letters. She'd plead with them. She'd put in Bible verses. She explained the need of salvation. She did what she could. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Do what we can. She felt obligated. She felt liable for their souls. And I tell you, we need to feel liable. Once we do, and we're going to step up to the plate and do what needs to be done. I mentioned, I don't know, again, this morning, I mentioned it. I don't know why I'm mentioning it again, but is there a nursing home in the area that needs someone to go and witness, that needs someone to go on a Saturday and have a have a service, or a Sunday afternoon and have a service. Says, well, that's my nap time. That's my this time. Is there somebody that needs the gospel? They're close to entering eternity. So we got a pastor. You know, the pastor's not supposed to do everything in the church. You can read chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians sometime, and you will see that he has given the men of God to the local church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. God gives the pastor to train and to challenge the people, and they do the work of the ministry. Now, he better do some. Right? They do some, amen? But they're not supposed to do everything. The work of the ministry belongs to the body of Christ. All the members have a job to do. Notices these needs? We talked about the need. Notice love sees it. If you don't see the needs of others, you might be missing some love. Liability. You might not feel responsible. And listen, if God's put some people in your path, you're responsible. You know people I don't know. I can't reach them. Pastor can't reach them. He doesn't know them. You know them. I know some people you don't know. I'm supposed to take care of those. You know, the sad thing is sometimes we don't. Love notices needs. Liability notices needs. And leadership notices some needs. Jesus said there in verse number 3, if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint. He said, if I send them away fasting. He took charge and he did something about it. He knew what the end result was if he didn't act. You know what happens a lot of times? A lot of people sit around and say, well, yeah, there's a need. I hope somebody meets it. You ever have, like, you know, a time where they're looking for volunteers for something in the church? Anybody want to volunteer? All right. Anybody want to volunteer? And you're like, well, I probably should, but I'm just going to. And then you put your hand up right after, you know, there's enough people already. Oh, well, I would have done it, but, you know, somebody else has already done it. Well, we can't always wait for somebody else to do it. Amen? That's what notices need. So we see the need was neglected. We see the need was noticed, praise God. And then we see the need was nullified. It means it was taken care of. You see, who was there's a confrontation here. Who was Jesus speaking to in this passage, pointing out the needs of the people? It was the disciples. And Jesus wanting them to see the need. Are you a follower of Christ? That's a disciple. He wants you to see the needs. The Lord will confront us. That's why it's good to have a missions conference. Because the Lord confronts us and speaks to us and reminds us about what we're supposed to be doing. And we have to do a little, a check and make sure we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. Then we see the contemplation. It says, from whence can a man satisfy these men? the disciples, they came back with a good answer. Lord, how are we going to satisfy this many people out here in the wilderness? We're in the wilderness. There's no jack-in-the-box around here. There's no Whataburgers. You know, what are we going to do? Well, but they did understand one thing. They understood that Jesus wanted them to do something. But instead of getting on it and doing something, they're like, well, I don't know how we're going to do it. You know, the Lord might give the pastor a vision for a new ministry or something. It's like, well, sounds good. Sure someone will do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. No, no, no. Why does God do that? So we'll step up to the plate and take the challenge. You know, the funny thing is, this is the feeding of the 4,000. You know what happened before the feeding of the 4,000? The feeding of the 5,000. The disciples had already seen this before. They had already seen the Lord take and bless little and turn it into much. And the Lord's coming to them and saying, hey, what are we going to do? And they're like, well, I don't know how we're going to take care of this. They're throwing it back on him. They're just trying to get out of it. But they knew God wanted them to do something, and they knew what to do. We know what to do. We know we're supposed to tell people about the Lord. We know we're supposed to give to missions. We know some people should surrender and go to the mission field. We know this. Well, someone else will do it. Listen, we've got people, some who come to this church, some who are here today, who joined the military for the sake of our nation, have gone overseas, have put themselves in harm's way for our country. And by the way, thank you. I'm grateful for that. I get to have freedom because people have sacrificed for me. I'm thankful for that. Now, if some can do that for their country, and I know maybe some do it for other reasons. Maybe they like the paycheck, or maybe they want the training, or whatever it is. But they're still willing to do that. Can't we do that for the Lord? Can't we do that for some eternal rewards? For something a whole lot higher than a country? We're talking about getting people into the next life. Well, now we see the correction. Jesus turned the tables on them. They were like, well, I don't know how. They said, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? A man? They were throwing. He was like talking to them, and they were throwing it off. And then Jesus corrected them there in verse number 5, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? He says, what do you got? What do you got? Don't talk about a man. What about you? They're putting it off on someone else. What do you have? What do you have to give the Lord? Well, I don't have much. Well, were you willing to give it? They didn't have much either. They had 7 loaves. They had 4,000 people. Last time I checked, 7 loaves isn't going to feed 4,000 people. They didn't have much. They gave it to the Lord. The Lord blessed it. And the Lord changed it. And the Lord used it. You think He could do that with your life? Well, I don't have the personality. I don't have this. I don't have that. You don't have to have it all. All God wants is you. Here I am. Send me. You put that little in His hand, and He can bless it. He can change you. And He can use you to meet the needs of others. And that's exactly what He did. They gave Him those 7 loaves. He took those loaves. The Bible says there in verse number 6, He took the loaves and gave thanks. And in verse number 7, we see He blessed. And when we give to Him what we have, He blesses it and uses it and meets needs. There might be some young person here saying, well, I don't have a lot of money even. I'd like to help with missions, but I don't have much, so it's not going to do a whole lot. A little bit in God's hands can do a whole lot. Whole lot. Yeah, I heard a story called Missionary Penny. There was a kid, all they had was a penny. They didn't think it was a whole lot, but they gave it, and they talked to their Sunday school teacher. They were going to make a big collection and send something to a missionary, and the kid, all they had was a penny. Came up with that penny. And they sacrificed to get that penny. It was a poor, poor kid. This is years ago when a penny was a little bit more or something, but it was just still a penny. And that teacher felt really burdened about, and there was more of a story, I don't get into it, but took that penny and bought a gospel tract and mailed that with everything else to that missionary and said, please, pray over this gospel tract. This is a special tract. And that missionary prayed over that, gave it to a certain person that they met on the mission field. Guy took it, went back, he got saved, went back to his village and read it. That's all they had, read it. Other people got saved. Missionary eventually got out there sometime and said, "What's that building?" So this is a church. They didn't even have a Bible. All they had was that tract. Hey, little as much when God is in it. And we see the conclusion here. Look there in verse 8. So they did eat and were what? Filled. You know, this world doesn't satisfy. You might be here tonight and you're empty inside. You get Christ. And when he meets the need, you'll be full. And he says, and they took up of the loaves of the broken meat that was left, seven baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. How did Jesus send them away? Full. With the needs met. When someone comes to Christ, he takes care of them. I'm so happy that when I became a Christian, and God became my heavenly Father, he's taking care of my needs. I might not be the richest guy in the world. Right? I'm a preacher. But you know what? God has taken good care of us. I eat well. I think I dress well. I think. I have no bills. I have bills, but I have no debt. Zero. I owe nothing. Nothing. All of my needs are met. So, you're rich. I know someone who is. He takes very good care of me. God is good. God will meet your needs. All you've got to do is trust him to use what you have. I'm just going to wrap this all up. I don't know exactly why God put this, and I didn't even preach it exactly how like I've had it. But is God working in your life somehow? Maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm hungry. Spiritually, I'm hungry. I need something. I need the Lord. And I've accepted the wrong. I need the Lord. I want to know more about this salvation thing. I want to know more about this changed life that Jesus can give me and the forgiveness of sins. Well, we'd love to take the Bible and show you how you can have forgiveness of sins, how you can have a changed life. Oh, God's still saving people and sparing people from that hazard of going into the lake of fire. Maybe there's some people that you know that have nothing to eat. Maybe God's burdening someone here and saying, wow, there really are other people in other parts of the world that have nothing to eat spiritually. I think maybe God would want me to go and tell them. I might not have much to offer, but I'm going to give what I have. I'll give my life, Lord. Will you please take me? Will you please change me? Will you please do something in my heart and in my life? Will you use me in some special way? And God can do that. He wants to do that. Maybe there's someone here tonight that God's been working on your heart. Will you make a decision? Lord, here I am. If you want to use me that way, I'm available. Make it clear. At least present yourself. Maybe there's some people under our watch care. They've been with us more than 3 days. We're accountable to give them something. Maybe we should do something about it.